understand that, you know, this is somebody who is like an uncle to me. He's somebody who helped me find Christ.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country that is controlled by rich white people.
Michelle and I told Reverend Otis Moss that we were withdrawing as members of Trinity. United Church of Christ, my home church.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
And I believe we worship the same God.
Islam is peace.
I am awed and honored and humbled to have been elected by my sister and brother bishops in the Episcopal Church.
You know, we hear a lot about the religion gap, and I think it's been a problem for one party in America more than another party in America. The Democratic Party has a hard time connecting with religious voters. At least they have in the past. Although the man that they have chosen for their candidate for the presidential race in 2008 has all the hallmarks in his rhetorical style of some of the best preachers out there. You may not agree with him, but the guy knows how to deliver a speech. He probably, like one of his predecessors as a Democratic president, Bill Clinton, may have missed his vocation and maybe should have been a preacher. And some people have hoped that Barack Obama, with his rhetorical style and what some people have noted, his very transparent honesty about his religious life, would be able to close that gap. John Green joins us here in this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're back on the air in St. Louis after a three-month hiatus, and we're back with John Green for the first part of this hour, and then Dr. Carl Ficantra to talk about the gospel in the second part of this hour of Issues, Etc. John Green is a regular guest on the program, and he's senior fellow in religion and American politics for the Pew Forum based in Washington, D.C. John, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Has Barack Obama and his party been able to close what they're calling the religion gap for the Democratic Party?
You know, it's really unclear at this point as to whether the Democrats have been able to close the religion gap or the God gap, as some people call it. There is some survey and evidence that suggests that maybe they're making some moves in that direction. There's other survey evidence that suggests that maybe not. But one thing we know for sure is that Barack Obama and the Democrats are trying very hard to close the religion gap. And in politics, trying is half the battle. So we'll just have to watch and see as the campaign proceeds whether they can make good on those efforts.
What is the nature of the gap? How would you describe what they call the religion gap?
Well, there are really two gaps there in the way that different kinds of religious people vote. The gap that most people talk about is a gap in worship attendance, which shows that across all religious communities, people who attend worship more often, typically once a week or more often, are much more likely to vote Republican. And those people who attend less often, including those who don't attend at all, are much more likely to vote Democratic. Now, these are tendencies. I mean, there are certainly regular worship attenders who are strong Democrats, and there are people who never darken the door of a congregation that are strong Republicans. But that's one tendency. And so part of the effort among the Democrats and Senator Obama is to get some more support among regular worship attenders. But there's another gap out there, and that is between the different religious affiliations. Some religious communities are very, very Republican. For instance, some groups of white evangelical Protestants are very solidly Republican. Other groups, such as black Protestants, tend to be very Democratic. And then there are groups in the middle, like white Roman Catholics, that have people in both parties, a lot of people in the middle, and they tend to swing from one election to another, depending on the candidates and the issues. And so another thing that the Democrats are trying to do is to close what you might call the affiliation gap by doing better among certain religious communities that have tended to vote Republican.
How much is the success, to the degree that they've been able to have success as a party, in closing that gap with American voters, due to the fact that by hook or crook, they chose Barack Obama to be their candidate and not another candidate?
Well, I think that Barack Obama is in many ways the ideal messenger for this strategy, because he speaks so comfortably about his faith, and he has no problem connecting his religious values to his political values. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in America is necessarily going to agree with him, but there is a certain admiration of Barack Obama, even from people who don't agree with his theology or with his politics, because they see a certain kind of honesty there, a bit of transparency that we often don't see among politicians. And, of course, Barack Obama's made a real effort, and that both in the primaries and now that he's the presumptive Democratic nominee, he's putting a tremendous emphasis on outreach to religious voters. You know, at the end of the day, most voters, whatever their characteristics, like to be asked for their vote. And up until this year, we've been through a period where many Democratic candidates simply have not appealed to religious voters, and in some sense conceding them to the Republicans by default.
It has been something of a minefield, however, for Senator Obama, because one of the biggest stories surrounding his faith has been his affiliation with the pastor Jeremiah Wright. Has he been able to negotiate that minefield successfully and come out on the other side?
Well, that's really an insightful question, because if religion is a powerful means of persuading people to cast their ballots one way or another, it can also be a powerful impediment. Americans care so deeply about their religion that they actually pay attention oftentimes when candidates talk about their faith, and there can be some negative things that come up as well. And certainly many of the public remarks of Reverend Jeremiah Wright have created some difficulties for Barack Obama. After all, many Americans, including many African Americans, do not agree with some of the controversial things that Reverend Wright has said. But since Barack Obama predicated his campaign on his faith and his fact that he's a regular church attender, and in fact pointed out that the title of one of his books came from Reverend Wright, that did put a special burden on him to deal with some of that controversy. It came in two stages. The first stage led Senator Obama to give a very well-regarded speech in Philadelphia about race and religion in America, and that seemed to help. And then Reverend Wright made some more comments, and that created some additional problems that ultimately Senator Obama had to break with Reverend Wright and separate himself from him. And for the moment, that second controversy has died down, but I suspect we're going to hear a lot about that when the fall comes, because this is an issue that troubles lots of American voters.
On the subject of the Republicans, can they necessarily count on being able to reap the benefits of the Democrats' apparent weakness with religious voters?
You know, the Republicans really can't take many religious voters for granted. True, they have received strong support from many religious communities in 2004 and in previous elections, but that was the result of a lot of hard work on the behalf of Republican candidates and Republican activists. And Senator John McCain or other Republicans this year can't count on those groups voting for them. And it's not just how they vote, it's whether they turn out to vote. And there are some indications that some of the religious communities that have strongly supported the Republicans in the past are a bit disillusioned. They don't have a lot of enthusiasm for John McCain. So he and his associates in the Republican Party have a great deal of work to do if they want to attract the kind of support that they've had in the past.
Aside from his, and you had just mentioned, of course, his kind of ongoing feud with his own party over political issues, it strikes me that John McCain doesn't necessarily carry the same kind of overtly religious profile with his own party that some of his predecessors have, whether or not that profile was deserved or not. Many of his successful predecessors in the White House of the Republican stripe have been very closely associated with American evangelicals and evangelical voters and religious voters in general.
That's true. And perhaps the best example is George W. Bush, who in a way a little bit like Senator Obama, actually, speaks very comfortably about his faith and cultivated connections with the religious communities, particularly with evangelicals, but also with Roman Catholics and other religious groups as well. And if we go back a little bit farther, Ronald Reagan also spoke very cogently about his own faith and engaged religious people politically. Senator John McCain is really not like that. Now, whatever his private faith may be, It's, of course, difficult to judge from the outside, but he does not talk as comfortably about his faith. He doesn't make it as big of an issue. In fact, he has tended to want to avoid issues of faith and also some of the political issues that are often connected with religious communities. Some of this may simply be a factor of when Senator McCain was raised and the particular family he was raised in. You know, lots of people do not talk comfortably about their faith in public settings. But in this election, it is likely to be to Senator McCain's benefit if he can find a way to talk about those issues comfortably.
Can you stay with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break?
Oh, certainly.
Real quick before we go to that break, how much of this whole religious question with the voters is going to be determined by what Catholics will do, Roman Catholics will do, when they vote? 30 seconds.
Roman Catholics are a critical swing group, and they may very well determine the next president.
When we come back from the break, John Green will explain his answer there to us. We're talking with John Green. He is Senior Fellow in Religion and American Politics for the Pew Forum, based in Washington, D.C. A few more minutes with him talking about religion and presidential politics and politics in general. And then our guest will be Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll be talking about the gospel here on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Let's talk about anything, anything in this world, but politics, religion, and her. But politics, religion, and her.
Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues, Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
John Green is our guest. He's Senior Fellow in Religion and American Politics for the Pew Forum in Washington, D.C. He's with us for a few more minutes as we wrap up a few loose strings in our conversation about religion and presidential politics. John, before the break, you had mentioned that perhaps the occupant of the White House in 2008 will be determined largely by how Roman Catholic voters vote when they have the opportunity to do so. That's not something we often hear when religion and politics is discussed.
You know, oftentimes we don't, because the focus tends to be on religious groups that are closely identified with the Democrats or with the Republicans, part of the party's base, if you will. And those voters, of course, are very important, and the various political parties pay the most attention to them. But, of course, I mean, there's a lot of people in the middle. And Roman Catholics are a really good example of that. If you take Catholic social teachings, they don't fit very comfortably these days with either political party. on certain social and moral issues, many Catholics identify more with the Republicans, but on some foreign policy and economic issues, much more so with the Democrats. And the result of that is there's a large body of Catholics that are quintessential swing voters. And they tend to be found in states like Missouri and Michigan, Ohio and Pennsylvania, which are the critical battleground states from one election to another. And so how those particular people vote, particularly in those battleground states, can really make the difference.
Finally, then, do you expect the 2008 presidential elections, and of course there's going to be House and Senate elections that go along with them, do you expect it to change in any substantial way the way that we look at the significance of religious voters in the United States?
Well, it's quite possible. This election is unusual in several respects. One is we don't have an incumbent president or vice president running for either party. The Democrats are about to nominate the first African-American candidate. The Republicans are nominating a war hero. We've had that before, but not for a while. So we've got a lot of variables here that are a little bit hard to predict how they'll work out. And then we have these religious communities that are in flux politically, more so than they were in 2004. So it's quite possible that when all the ballots are counted this fall, that we'll see a significant change in the way that religion relates to politics.
John Green is Senior Fellow in Religion and American Politics for the Pew Forum, based in Washington, D.C. Their website, they have a very interesting new survey on religion in American life, pewforum.org, pewforum.org. John, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being our guest on Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.